bronchitis or something.
I guess it's just that time of year, but it seems more rampant this year than in past.
I went to the Children's Museum in Boston.
Yeah.
About a week and a half ago with a bunch of little kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good place to get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The little kids tend to carry a lot of that. You know, the snotty-nosed kid, and you got to blow the nose for them, you know. 270 people. And I'm so glad that Jesus still saves. We'll stand for our final hymn tonight, 270. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. A joyful sound,
Jesus saves, Jesus saves, strength is high, it's all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, bear the news to every land, like the wave and cross the waves, always is our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tilted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, down to sin is far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, in the isles of the sea, and no back the ocean gives, hurts your fear, till my lay, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We are to life as glorious. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Now the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. By his hills and deepest hills. Lifts our soul.
Please be seated, church. Good singing for a Sunday evening. And what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord with you all tonight. Just a couple of announcements before we get to our Sunday night message. On this coming Friday is movie night, family movie night. This Friday night at 6:30. We'll start that movie sometime between 6:30 and 7. We'll have you out of here by like 8:30. But we'll have popcorn and soda, some brownies and goodies for you. So it'll be a fun time. Please plan on inviting someone. You know, a lot of folks won't come to church for a sermon, but for a movie, hey, you know, free popcorn and soda, you know. Maybe we'll get some folks, some new folks in. That'd be a blessing. Also, on the 16th of this month, that's Thursday, March 16th, we will be moving Sister Addie from Nashua right up here to Manchester, real close to the church. So she's going to be, she's staying with us, and she has secured an apartment locally. And guys, please try to get that day off from your employers, because we're going to need a few backs, you know, besides me and Dave.
What day is it?
It would be Thursday the 16th. It's like another, yeah. Yeah, week from this coming Thursday. So praise the Lord for that, and or 2 weeks from Thursday. But that'll be good to get Addie all moved in. She's renting a big truck, one shot, guys. One trip, that's it. We'll be done. That Wednesday night, of course, we'll have our regular service. We were going to alter that, but we don't have to, because we're not going to move her on Wednesday. We're going to move her on Thursday. All right, let's grab our Bibles, folks. And open up to Genesis chapter 1 tonight. If you can't find that, you're in trouble. Genesis chapter 1. And of course, we're continuing our series tonight. This is week 11 on the place of the dead. the place of the dead. That is, where do folks go when they pass away, when they take their final breath? Well, it all depends upon if you were saved or not, for one thing. But there are many terms in the Bible to describe the unseen world, the place of the dead. And tonight we come to the 12th biblical term used to describe the unseen world, which is the place of the dead. That term is my favorite of all, heaven. Heaven. Now, we must realize, folks, tonight, that there are actually three heavens mentioned in the Scripture. Come right in, my sister. Three heavens are mentioned in the Scripture. Therefore, we must identify which of the three heavens the Bible is speaking of when and where we find this term, heaven. Because sometimes the Bible is talking about the first heavens. Sometimes the Bible is referring to the second heavens. And then sometimes the Bible is talking about the third heaven. So, two of the three heavens in Scripture are visible. One is invisible. First, there is the atmospheric heavens, where the birds fly and the clouds roam. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1 we read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now somebody tell me, what heaven is that? That's Lucas?
Would that be the, I know some translations use the term heavens, would that be the heaven where he's sitting at right now?
No, it's not his heaven, it's not the third heaven because that's eternal. So this is speaking about, notice the coupling of the heaven and the earth, talking about the visible creation of the world. The sky, which is called the atmospheric heaven. That's the first heaven. Okay? So here he's talking about the first heaven. Go to verse 20. I'll show you that. Verse 20. God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of what?" Heaven. Now, birds don't fly in God's heaven where he dwells on the throne. And birds certainly don't fly in the second heavens. That wouldn't work. There's no gravity out there. So it's talking again about the first heaven. Okay, Matthew chapter 8. We're going to go through these quickly so that we'll see the three heavens, and then we'll focus in on that third heaven that God wants us to see. In Matthew chapter number 8, the Lord Jesus speaks about the first heavens, and he says in Matthew 8, verse 20, "Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Now, Jesus Christ is making a reference here to the first heaven. He says that's where those fowls of the air fly. They fly in the first heaven, not the second, not the third. Acts chapter 10. Go over to the book of Acts. Have your Bibles greased up tonight. In Acts chapter 10, look with me at verse number 11. You know, Peter has seen a vision, and it's concerning the Gentiles receiving the gospel. Verse 11, we read, "And I saw heaven opened." Which heaven? That would be the first heaven. Now look, "and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth." So what Peter sees in his vision is a sheet full of unclean beasts, according to the Old Testament laws of Moses, coming down out of the first heaven to the earth. Notice the wording, to the earth. And then look in chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. All these verses are speaking about the first heaven. And verse 17. We read, "Nevertheless, Paul preaching, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from where?" From heaven. Which heaven?
Atmospheric.
Which one?
Atmospheric.
Yes, atmospheric. That's right, Maki. From the atmospheric heavens where the clouds dwell. "And fruitful seasons filling our hearts with food and gladness." God gives us that rain so that the crops will grow, so we can eat. Isn't that good? So that the cattle can drink, so that we can eat beef. I like beef. Okay, that's the first heaven. Secondly, there is the celestial heavens. That's the second heavens we call the celestial heavens. The second heaven, which includes the moon, the sun, the stars, and space. When the Bible speaks of space travel, not the Bible, but when man speaks of space travel, this is the place that they are talking about. Go to Genesis chapter 1 again. We're going to see this time, you're going to notice a difference in the geographical location of the heavens that he speaks of here from the first heavens. This is why the Bible is an important book to rightly divide. That's how cults start. They wrongly interpret verses. In Genesis chapter 1, again, look at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. The heaven. What heaven? Celestial. That's right, Miriam. To divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Somebody tell me, how long does it take for the earth to circle the sun?
365 days.
That's right, Tim. 365 days it takes the earth to go once around the sun, traveling at a speed of 67,000 miles an hour. Yeah, it's a great God we serve. 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, celestial heavens, that give light upon the earth. And so it was. God made two great lights. The greater light, what's that called? The sun. It's not in our, it was in our atmospheric heaven, we'd be burnt to, we'd be crispy critters. To rule the day, and the lesser light, which is called the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. I love that. By the way, he made all the stars, you see. And God said that set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So here we see God creating the celestial heavens and all of the orbs and lights and planets and stars that are in the celestial heavens, the second heavens. Go to chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I'm just scratching the surface, folks, on each of these three heavens. There are hundreds of verses, literally, describing each of the three heavens. But in Genesis 22, look with me at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of what? Heaven, the second time. And he said, I've sworn, saith the Lord, by myself. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed, as the stars of the what? Heaven. Celestial heaven. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, Israel. Matthew 24. Again speaking of the second heavens. And Jesus Christ mentions the second heavens in a prophecy of something that has not yet taken place, but it will. In Matthew 24. It's the Olivet Discourse, by the way. Great prophecy by Messiah. Tells us exactly, he lays it out, man, in red and white. You thought I was going to say black and white, right? In red and white. I love red and white. Jesus speaking. Matthew 24, look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, 7 years of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from
heaven.
And the powers of the heavens, plural, shall be shaken. Now, here we see again the celestial heavens being grossly affected by the coming of Messiah. Revelation chapter 6, and then we'll get to our topic tonight, the third heaven. In Revelation chapter 6, one more reference to the second heavens. And this is where John is caught up into the third heaven to see a vision of the apocalypse, okay? And in Revelation chapter number 6, we read these words, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, here clearly, John is seeing the second heavens being dissolved, everything in them being destroyed. It's not talking about the third heaven, because that will never be destroyed. That's God's dwelling place. So we know it's speaking of the second heaven. All right, now, the first heaven and the second heaven are both visible to man. So they're not a part of the unseen world, the place of the dead. So this clearly shows us that it is the third heaven that is part of the unseen world. It is the abode of God where he dwells, the third heaven. It is also where you and I, who know Jesus Christ, will dwell and abide forever with him. Now, there are a total of 39 passages. No, we won't read them all. Concerning, in Scripture, concerning the third heaven. They speak directly about this glorious place, the third heaven. It can be found in the books of Genesis, Deuteronomy, 1st and 2nd Kings, 2nd Chronicles, Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Daniel. You know that Daniel mentions heaven more than any other book? The word heaven, speaking of the third heaven, in the book of Daniel appears 31 times. That's more than any other book in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Daniel is a heavenly book. Listen, Amos, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews, 1 Peter, and Revelation all mention the third heaven. God wants us to know that it's real and that we're heading there because of Jesus Christ. So for time's sake, beloved, we'll just look at a few of these references to the third heaven. First, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Back to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. You know the situation here. Solomon has taken the kingship from his father, David. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, he puts together the glorious temple. Remember, David couldn't build the temple, but he said, "Thy son shall build me a temple." And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, look with me at verse number 12. Don't miss this. And he, Solomon, here's a godly leader for a nation. He stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. You'll never see the man in the White House do that. He's praying to the God of heaven, and he publicly spreads his hands toward heaven. And for Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. What heaven? I think. That's right, Kyle, the third. He's addressing the God of heaven. So he's spreading his hands toward heaven. Heaven is up, by the way. We're going to see that in a minute. Drop down with me to verse 14. And he said, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keep his covenant and show us mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts." Drop down with me to verse 21. Same chapter. Verse 21. He goes through this awesome prayer to God. In verse 21 we read, "Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place," the temple, "and where the Shekinah glory dwelt. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven." God's dwelling place, his throne, his glory is in heaven, the third. "And when thou hearest, forgive." Oh, I love that. Look with me at verse 22. "And if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, by requiting the wicked," he will, "by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness." Drop down with me now here to verse 25. He prays again, "Then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people." Verse 27, "Then hear thou from heaven, and forgive their sin." Verse 30, "Then hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place." Now, verse number 33, "Then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place." Then verse 35, "Then hear thou from the heavens," their prayer and their supplication. And he goes on and on and on. 39, "Hear thou from heaven, hear thou from heaven," over and over and over. Why? Because heaven, the third heaven, is God's dwelling place. And folks, when we pray on earth, our prayers are received by our Heavenly Father in heaven. That's a long way. Google can't do that. Internet can't do that. All right, Job chapter 16, quickly. Now, I'm going to go quickly here because we've got a few verses to cover. In Job chapter 16, we're speaking about the third heaven, God's dwelling place, where you and I will go one day. Look with me at verse 19, Job 16, 19. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Verse 22, when a few years, I'm sorry, chapter 22 and verse 12. 22, verse 12. And we read, is not God in the height of heaven? Yes, he is. And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. Boy, that'll humble you. Chapter 26 of Job and verse number 11. The pillars of heaven. Remember we saw that there's a pillar on earth? The church. The church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Look at this. There's pillars in heaven too. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. When God gets angry, the pillars of heaven shake. Oh yeah. He's a powerful God. Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. I wonder where that is. The Lord's throne is in heaven. There it is. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. God sees everything from his heaven, the third heaven. Chapter 14 of Psalm. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. God is looking for man who will seek him. I like that bumper sticker. Wise men still seek him. Amen. Chapter 33, Psalms. Whoever gets there first, read us verse 13. 33:13.
The Lord looketh from the heaven to behold all the sons of men.
Yes, from his heaven he looks down. That's his omniscience. It's also his omnipresence. Okay, he's got both. Not to mention his omnipotence. Psalm 89. Whoever gets to Psalm 89 first, read us verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. The days of heaven, that means eternity, because it's not limited for heaven. There's 37, somebody. Verse 37 there.
It shall be established forever as the moon, beautiful witness in heaven, Selah.
Amen. And notice the word forever as heaven. It's forever. Psalm 102. Somebody read us verse 19. I love Psalm 102.
He hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From the heaven did the Lord behold the earth.
Wow. Folks, as we read these verses, don't you just feel how glorious our God is? He's in heaven, and yet he humbles himself to behold us. He cares about us. 119, verse 89, someone. Some of you don't even need to look.
Forever, O Lord, the word is heavenly.
In heaven! That's why the devil can't destroy this book. It's heavenly. Its origin is not of this world. You can't think about it. You got about as much luck as destroying God. That's destroying his word. Good luck. God's in heaven. So is his word. You can't destroy it.
Jesus is the word.
Devil knows that. Yes. The incarnate word. He can't destroy him either. Psalm 139. Verse 8, someone. Verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, third heaven, thou art there, Lord. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's everywhere. You can't get away from God, and you can't hide from him. Isaiah chapter 14. Flip past Proverbs to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, we know prophetically who this is speaking of, but that's not why I'm going here. I'm going here because of the location. Then in Isaiah 14, look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from where? Heaven! Oh, Lucifer, that's right, the devil was in heaven once. Imagine being in the presence of Jesus Christ and leaving. Wow. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? which didst weaken the nation. It's 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. And he's not talking about the first or the second. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon also the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the heaven. I will be like the Most High. What a fool. What a fool. Stop and think about that decision he made to try to equal himself to God, his maker. Good luck. Chapter 66. Somebody read this verse 1. Isaiah 66, 1. Third heaven.
Thus saith the Lord, mm-hmm. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that my yea build unto me, and where is the place of rest?
I love that. God says, I am so big that I sit on my throne in heaven and my feet touch the earth. That's how big our God is, amen. Oh boy, he's an awesome God. All right, go with me to Daniel chapter 2. We'll just do a few in Daniel. But all these verses we're reading, remember, are speaking about the third heaven where God dwells. Daniel 2, verse 18, we read.
Mm-hmm. Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon.
Mm-hmm. And notice what Daniel calls him, the God of heaven, the third heaven. Read us verse 19, Marian.
Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven.
Oh, I'm so glad that the Bible reminds us over and over and over that we serve the God of heaven, not the God of this world, small g. That's the world serves him. We serve the God of heaven, capital G. Drop down to verse 28. Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he goes and tells him his dream. Drop down to verse 37. The God of heaven told him, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. It's the only reason he had a throne, because God let him have it, right? Drop down to verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Yeah, it's messianic. John chapter 3. Go to the New Testament book of John. Chapter 3. Could be the Bible's most popular chapter. In John chapter 3, look with me at verse 13. Jesus says, no man hath ascended up to heaven. Notice the geographical location. Got to go up. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I love that verse. Jesus said, I'm here on earth because I came down from heaven. But I'm also in heaven. He was still God, a very God, when he became a man. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. See that? From heaven. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. See, that's something the world doesn't understand. Jesus Christ is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. There he is. Acts chapter 1. The third heaven is his home. The third heaven is where he came from to visit us 2,000 years ago. To pay the price for our sins. And he did it. Acts 1. Look at me at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. This is the ascension. Behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The Bible makes it so clear that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended up on high, he went into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he put his arm around and said, well done, my son! 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He did it perfectly. 2 Corinthians, right on schedule, chapter number 5, look with me at verse 2. Paul says, "For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house body, which is from where?
Heaven."
Heaven. Here we learn something else about the third heaven. You and I have glorified bodies waiting for us there. I love it. It's like when God made Adam in the garden, he made Adam, he was a lump of clay. He was just a lump of clay. He had a perfect form of a human being, but he had no life, right? Until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then he woke up. He became a living soul. That's how it is with our glorified bodies. They're up there in heaven. They're just waiting for us to inhabit them. Amen? You got to realize, folks, you are a spirit being, not a physical being. You're a spirit being trapped in a physical body. Let that sink in. All right, go with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to verse, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2. Paul says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up, harpazoed, raptured, to the what?
Third heaven.
He even tells you which one it is. You can't be any clearer than that. He got raptured. God let him see things that no man had ever seen. And they sent him back down here and said, "Shh, don't tell him everything." You couldn't handle it. It's so glorious. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me at verse number 9. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, your servants, forbearing threatening." He said, treat them right. Treat your employees well. "Knowing that your master also is where?" In heaven. Talking to believing bosses. "Neither is there respect of persons with him." It says, your master, capital M, that's a title. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. Colossians chapter 1. Just past Philippians to Colossians 1 verse 5. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." That's why you have eternal security. Your eternal life does not depend upon what you do or do not do. It depends upon Jesus Christ did. Amen? "For the hope," by the way, who is our hope? Jesus Christ. That's right. "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven." "And whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Drop down to verse 16. "For by him," that blessed hope, laid up in heaven for us, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." I'm so glad that you and I know that. 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Wow, the third heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 10. "And to wait for his son from where?" Yeah, from heaven. That's where he's coming from. The third heaven. "Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Notice the past tense on delivered us. We've already been delivered from the wrath which is yet to come during the tribulation period. It says so right there. I love how the Bible does that. The Bible transcends dispensations, you know. But the Bible speaks in the past tense of things that have not yet occurred. That's how sure the Word of God is. Isn't that good? All right. 1 Thessalonians, look with me quickly. Look with me at chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 we read. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews. After Timotheus. Chapter number 12. Oh, I love this passage. Look at verse 23. Don't miss this. Here's what we've been called to. Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written where? In heaven. That's Hebrews 12:23. Your name is already written in heaven. You know what that means? Listen, when you were born, the hospital that you were born in created a birth certificate for you. Wrote your name on it that mom and dad named you and said so-and-so was born on such and such a date in such and such a place. See that? Same thing in heaven. You were born again in such and such a place on such and such a date. And that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, where? Look at it. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's the Old Testament saints. They were made perfect by Jesus Christ. 25. Go to verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, God, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. From heaven. Folks, God is speaking loud and clear to this world. They've just done this number. Nope, I won't hear. I don't want to hear his voice. That's the majority of this world. That's why there's empty pews in the church tonight. I'm so thankful for you and you and you and you and you, all you guys, coming to hear God's voice. Amen. That is powerful stuff. And he speaks from heaven. 1 Peter. And then we'll move on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in where? In heaven, for you. You've got a reservation, an heavenly one. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 of 1 Peter 1. Unto whom it was revealed, the Old Testament prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. Folks, you have something from heaven that has entered you, sealed you, and will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? From heaven. I love that. In chapter 3 of 1 Peter, we'll finish up here with our verses. In chapter 3, look at verse 22. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's why I love the prayer my sister prayed last night. She came against the enemy and said, enough of this. And in Jesus' name, she bound those forces of evil that were attempting to hinder us. And wow, did we feel good when she got done. Amen? Because that's the authority. Listen, they're all subject to him. And they're subject to us in his name. We have to remember that, church. Now, from these scriptural references concerning the third heaven, we must make 8 deductions. You knew that was coming, right? First of all, we must deduce that the actual existence of the third heaven, the abode of God, has been testified of by actual eyewitnesses. Witnesses who have personally seen the third heaven and come to earth to tell mankind about it. Let me give you 3. Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, testified to its literal existence in John chapter 14. He said, I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if I go to heaven, I will come again to receive you where I am, that ye may be there also. Now, Jesus clearly stated that he was going to prepare us a place there in heaven. We have another witness. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, to receive divine revelation for the body of Christ for this dispensation. Paul is the most important man in the New Testament for the believer today because of the divine revelation he gave to the saints. Okay? We couldn't understand many, many things about regeneration if it wasn't for the Pauline epistles. So he also testified to the existence of this place, the third heaven. John Remember John, the beloved apostle, was taken up into the third heaven in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither, and I'll show thee things to come. He received the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, in heaven. He saw the streets of gold, the pearly gates. He saw the angels worshiping the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. He saw it all. And he came and he wrote for us in the book of Revelation all about it. So the first thing is that it's a literal place. Secondly, we must make the deduction, secondly, that the third heaven is the permanent abode of God, where he dwells, and that therefore those who go there will dwell with him forever in heaven. Thirdly, we must deduce from Scripture that the holy elect unfallen angels also reside there in the third heaven, and that they, we will meet them in heaven one day. All of the angels, we're going to meet personally. Isn't that great? Fourthly, we must make the fourth deduction that heaven is a real, literal, and eternal place, which will be our eternal home for everyone who trusts Jesus Christ and is born again. Fifthly, we must deduce that heaven's location is always, always upward. It's always north, no matter where you are. Now, it is located above the earth, above the sky, above space, and above the first heaven, above the second heaven, and over and above all other locations in the universe. Heaven is above them all. It's the highest place you can go. Sixthly, we must deduce that heaven is the place from where God rules the universe providentially, by his divine sovereignty, and that every single aspect of his rule originates from the third heaven. In other words, he issues marching orders from the third heaven, from his throne, and they are carried out on earth and throughout the universe. Okay? All of the orders come from the third heaven. Seventhly, it's like headquarters. Seventhly, we must make the clear deduction from Scripture that heaven is the place where God receives worship from men and angels, meaning, I had a good time preparing this yesterday, meaning that when we worship God on earth, in church, or in our prayer closet, wherever, he is receiving that worship literally, simultaneously, in heaven. Okay? When you worship him here, he receives it in heaven, without delay, in what we call real time. Eighthly, we must make the final deduction concerning the third heaven. That is that heaven is right now the home of all departed believers. They're not in Abraham's bosom. They're in heaven with Jesus Christ. No longer do believers go down when they die to Abraham's bosom, but they now go directly into the third heaven and immediately join the heavenly company of God's eternal family, worshiping him. Isn't that good news, folks, tonight? That when we take our final breath, no delay, no purgatory, no intermediate state, we immediately go to be with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul said, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, that's such good news. You know what it does? It makes you have no fear of death. It's like, wow, that is such an awesome truth. Paul wanted to go. Man, he couldn't wait to go be with the Lord. But he says, it's more needful for you that I abide in the flesh. He said, I got to stay here and preach some more. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the 12th biblical term concerning the unseen world, the place of the dead. And that term is heaven. It's our favorite term of all, Lord, because that's the one place that we're going when we die or when we're raptured. Father, tonight we're so thankful as a church family. We're so thankful that you, through the finished work of your Son, have made heaven our home. Something not any one of us could ever accomplish. Jesus did it for us. Lord, how can we not adore you and worship you and treasure you in our daily lives, knowing from the Bible all that you have done for us? When we start thinking about heaven, Lord, and how wonderful it will be. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more sickness. Just glorious joy and peace forevermore in the presence of the King. Oh, thank you, Lord. That'll cheer one up. And we thank you for that truth tonight. In Jesus' holy name, the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll finish up with a hymn. So glad that last week, when Tommy took his final breath, he went to the third heaven. We know that. Oh, yeah. Makes it all worth it. 164, folks. Most of you don't need a hymnal for this old hymn of the faith. H.G. Spafford wrote, after losing his four daughters at sea, wrote the words of this song. I'm thinking of it as well. This is John Newton, of course. Got my hymns mixed up. 164, we'll stand and we'll sing all four. About that amazing grace tonight, beloved. Brother Timmy, where's Tim? Oh, okay. Brother Vaki, dismiss us in prayer.
You, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. And to all those that believe in you, amen.
Mm-hmm, amen. Lord bless you. So, Wednesday night at 7, if you can.